Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy this message from The Well.
If you can just stand for me, because we love honouring everyone here that, you know, that offer their serving hearts, their time, their energy. And yeah, we just want to, yeah, this man I have known for quite a while now, as you have. And normally we see him there, but now he's here. It's like, and that's an amazing gift, isn't it? So yeah, we just want to honor you, Lord. We thank you for, yeah, just being so faithful and being a rock in front of us, as that word was shared by Sam earlier. So yeah, we are looking forward to what God has put on your heart. So let's just welcome Lloyd.
Can you hear me? Wow, fantastic.
Well, I don't know who this was set for, but...
Yeah, it's great. Such a privilege to be here. Like Coletta, I am going to set a timer as well, because I think we want to run to time. Well, I believe that God is going to lift burdens and bring freedom over fear and anxiety, funny enough. And if we can look at my scripture this morning, comes from Matthew 11, 28, and it simply says this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Not lonely, lowly. "And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." As I said to you, I just believe that God wants to release us. Lift those burdens. So the title of my talk is, we've heard this phrase, the cost of living, the cost of living. It's all over the media. And I've entitled this, "The Cost of Living is Jesus." British consumers are currently struggling with soaring bills, more expensive goods in the supermarket, and rocketing fuel prices. Energy bills are one of the biggest contributors to inflation at present, as oil and gas prices remain at elevated levels, in part due to the war in Ukraine and Russia. And BP and other are now recording their biggest profit ever in the history of the company. And I guess shareholders will be pleased with that, but they're not. But the wholesalers and the suppliers, they're not really passing on any of that. Although the prices are now dropping, they're not passing that on to the consumers. And some parts of the economy is facing staff shortages and Brexit, because of Brexit and pandemic. And our national insurance contributions have gone up as a result of the new health and social care levy. We are experiencing a shaking at the moment. In our government, in our environment, climate change, it's getting hot, really hot. Corruption being exposed at the highest level. My question to you is, what is your response to all this uncertainty, to all this shaking? Let me just declare right now. Man's inflation is nothing compared to heaven's resources. Yes? Amen? My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And I have 4 points for you this morning. The cost of living is giving. One, the cost of living is grieving in Jesus. The cost of living in Jesus is faith. And the cost of living is peace. So, giving, grieving, faith, and peace. First point, the cost of living is giving. We've all heard that expression, giving is receiving. And you can't outgive God, because God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And Psalm 33 says this, 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. Amen. Whenever we surrender our time, our money, our hearts, that time to study God's word, reading, fasting, praying, we are returning to the bread and butter of our spiritual disciplines, which helps us to stay in tune and stay in step in faith with the Spirit when everybody else is kind of losing a bit of a grip or placing their trust in other things. What are you giving your heart to at the moment? What is that thing that has kept you distracted? Because, guys, look, I've been doing this. We can't grab God on the go. He's not a quick fix. You can't snack your way out of not spending time with God. It's not popcorn prayers. Our spiritual food rises from a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. We need proper food, right? We need, as I speak to our community, you know, we need soul food. A good meal, not a snack. It's not going to keep you going. It's crucial. It's having a balance of both the practical and the spiritual. And my wife, who's here today, reminds me and keeps me accountable sometimes, because sometimes I find myself snacking on some of that, binging on some programs, most recently, especially in the summer. And I like it that she's able to say to me, well, you haven't done, that's two mornings you've not gone down at 5:30. What's going on? And as I've already mentioned, we can't outgive God. But our capacity to receive might be hindered. Remember the story of the widow's oil, two kings. Her husband had died. He was one of the sons of the prophets. And basically, the bailiffs and the debt collectors were on her doorstep, and they were ready to sell her sons, two sons, into slavery. But of course, she went to the man of God and pleaded with him. And she got a set of instructions from Elijah, and she followed it to the letter. She was obedient in that. And what she had, he said, what do you have? And she had that little bit of oil. And sometimes, often, it's what we have in our hands. What have we got that we think is maybe not significant, but the gifts and the talents that God has blessed us. And we know the end of the story of that, because she borrowed all those receptacles, those different jars, and they were all filled. More and more as it was poured, that oil was poured out, and it didn't run dry until there was none left. She was to sell the proceeds and live off the rest. God fills our lives. We need that infilling. We need that consistency, and that persistent prayer life is a key. James reminds us that once we become a follower of Christ, that we will not escape trouble. I'm sorry, guys. In fact, John 14, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And also he says, I will not leave you as orphans, because we are sons and daughters. We have so many voices, don't we? And we're overloaded with a lot of information bombarding us each and every day. And you know what? When I'm facing a crisis, or I'm having that bit of downtime, and again, I want that creature comfort, makes me feel better, doesn't it? But what am I listening to? What are you listening to? Is it the promises of God? And what has he told you? And are you trusting that word? Yes, we are called to be wise stewards in all things. But as much as the world wants you to fit in its mold, we are called not to conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans 12. And I found myself thinking this radical thought, you know, I'm in this season, I'm in this time, and I'm thinking, I'm going to the barbers, and I want to be generous. But do you know what? I get my hair cut, it's £15, I pull out a 20, I still want my £5. I still want my £5, Rob. And I don't know, I feel challenged. I feel a little bit guilty, actually. I want the £5, it's in the pocket. There are two kinds of wisdom. There's one that's earthly and one that's heavenly. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure and peace-loving. You know, I first discovered my wife's generosity in the first year of marriage. And we've got a two-bedroom house, and I set up office in the second bedroom. And there was a single bed in that spare room. And maybe we had a discussion, maybe it was an argument. I don't quite remember. But I said, oh, if I work late, I'll sleep on the bed. You know, over there. Well, who told me to say that? Because 3 weeks later, someone knocked on the door. It was one of her friends and said, oh, thanks, Denise. Thank you for the bed. I went, what? You're giving away a good single? And she's forever doing that. But as servants of the living God, we are to think like stewards. Not owners, because we remember that God owns it all. The cost of living is grieving, my second point. Matthew 5, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Since coming out of lockdown, as a people, as a family, as a nation, we have experienced incredible loss. Loss on so many levels. Loss of loved ones, family members, dear to our hearts. Delvina's Tony and Trinity's Dola. Loss of work, finance. And dare I say my wife, who lost her job at Moorfields Eye Hospital due to injury. And she thought that was going to be the job that would see her career to retirement. many of us, some of us are maybe mourning a loss of relationship or marriage. And recently we celebrated our 8th year anniversary, but do you know what? When we came and looked at everything, it was like, wow, was this really a marriage? Because it was a roller coaster. From 14, straight away, we were burying people. We had grandchildren come along. I was hit. It was a baptism of fire, guys. I'll be honest. If you desire that, hey, I'm telling you. You know, a lot of people are thinking marriage is... No, it is all that, but watch what comes with it, yeah? Church leaders are not immune to this either. Are not immune to loss. Pray for us. Pray for Clive and Debbie. Pray for Angela. Pray for Sam and those emerging leaders. Because churches up and down the country have experienced this loss of finances, people not returning as pre-lockdown numbers, and have to adapt to new circumstances. But guess what? We remain hopeful. In our grief, out of the ashes, a new church plant, Baswell, which is birthed as we continue as the North London hub, Trinity, Hatfield, Upminster, Islington, and the mothership connection, Bedford. My third point, the cost of living is faith. Blessed are you when they say all kinds of things and evil against you, falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, I don't know how you're feeling at the moment, but I was having a bit of a crisis of faith myself. All of a sudden, I'm looking at the news a little bit more often than I should. And I thought, what is stagflation anyway? Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of everything hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And you know, I always describe it like this, that faith, it's like reaching out into thin air, holding on to it, praying that thing until it appears. And we say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hold on, guys. Hold on. It will appear. When we operate from a place of fear rather than a place of faith, we are allowing circumstance to dictate our present. But if we operate from faith, we are addressing our future. Listen, I don't have it all together. There are some days I am asking the Lord to help me with my unbelief. And I know that maybe there's be some here as well, struggling with that. A little bit up and down. But we fight from victory. We fight from a right standing in God because of his death and his resurrection. We are victorious. We are overcomers. Remember the story in Mark 4, 3, 5 and Luke 8, 2, 2? It's the story of Jesus states, let us cross over to the other side. And the wind and the waves are battering the boat and the disciples are scared. And Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the stern. And we know what happens. But you know, in the storms of life, Jesus is with you. He never said it was going to be an easy ride. It's always a safe arrival. Let me say that again. In the storms of life, Jesus is with you. It's not an easy ride. It is a safe arrival. You know, let me take a leaf out of Mr. Sharp's books and what he says. I think We ought to stop being spiritual crybabies and let's have that sense of joy, inner joy, and being rooted. Many of us in our crisis, you may be saying, you may not. What we can't afford, instead of confessing God's word and his reward. But we cannot afford to be living without him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you. That cost of living in faith is also dying to self each and every day. And Colossians 3 says, if therefore you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear, amen, in glory. And I often talk about two types of Christianity. Selfless, selfish. I'm not going to point the finger at anyone here, so I'm going to give you this little thing. So which category do you think I'm in? Don't answer. The flesh wars against the spirit and wants what it wants. And sometimes our lack of understanding of all things spiritual does hinder my walk or your walk with God. I have my own struggles. I lead worship and I sing Christ is enough for me. But guess what? Is he really? Is he really enough? Honestly. Because when everything is going well, of course he's enough. But when I can't afford a decent holiday, or if suddenly I hear a squeaky brake and I get slapped with a £400 bill, that doesn't bode well with my soul. Or is it the worship aspirations or writing? And, you know, we heard from Sam a few weeks ago. What plans are you making to set those goals, to achieve those things that God has placed and put in your heart? And as I place these things on the altar of sacrifice, I find that I'm a living sacrifice and I'm crawling off the altar and I'm taking those things back. And for God to complete that area of working, he needs to do those things in my life so that he can resurrect that promise, that desire. Who knows? Maybe what all this shaking is all about is what God wants to use to be stronger in him, to be that rock that we've heard about, to be solid in him, to be not moved by our circumstance. And if I want to be, I'm not perfect, if I want to be a better husband, father figure, grandfather, a better church leader, that Holy Spirit has to work in me. It's the power of the Holy Spirit as we remain in the vine and we remain connected. And I love Matt Redman's song. I will offer up my life in spirit and in truth, pouring out the oil of love as my worship to you. In surrender I must bring my every part. Lord, receive the sacrifice of a broken heart. I got up on Tuesday and I went for a prayer walk because there is a call for this church for prayer. I got up and I went down to my old place down in Hoxton, Penn Street. And as I was walking and I saw and I'm praying, there's been so much regeneration. You know, the old City Mission building where I used to live, it's gone. It's a new set of flats. And it's just like, I'm thinking, what? And then this thought came to me, and it was the perils of not progressing in Hebrews 6, 1-8. That introduction, the normal Christian life is to be one of spiritual growth and progression. We remain rooted and established, but there's a warning there. against apostasy and falling away? Has this time of uncertainty, the period of this time, got you questioning justice and injustice? Are we not to be like the sons of Issachar, who are able to discern the sign and the times that we are living in? The cost of living is peace. My last point. Vicky, just be on standby just in case in a minute. But yeah, it's an interesting word, peace, isn't it? And we tend to think of it in terms of when a soldier goes to war and does a tour of duty. He or she may come back to their family after all that hostility, you know, bombings, mines, rocket launchers, and roadside snipers. They're no longer experiencing that type of hostility. All hostility has now ceased. Returning home, it's peaceful, quiet, different. They wake up in an environment, he or she wakes up the next day, and there's that greater sense of peace. Another way to describe it would be we eradicate all stress in our lives. Now, we may not be experiencing all the hostility in that way, but we are a people that are under stress. Remember David Bowie's thing? Under pressure. I think there was Ice Baby as well, you know? But you see, the travel agents on the ads on the TV, Jet 2 holidays, and these amazing destinations, holidays in the sun, palm trees, blowing in the wind, coconut water, swimming pools, white sandy beaches, and lounge chairs. And Denise would often say to me, why are they advertising this now? Why now? And it's always in January, book now. However, when we look at the biblical meaning of peace, it goes a little deeper. Because, why? Because you can't always get rid of hostilities. Because there's hostile people around. You can't always eradicate stress because we live in a stress-filled society. Everybody is searching for peace. You want to come up? Everybody is searching for peace. Isaiah 48. Jesus is our precious Prince of Peace. I sing praises to your name, but hold on. I'm going to just work this through. The Lord your God who teaches you what is best for you, Isaiah 48, 17 to 18. There is that promise of peace. The Lord God who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go, if only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. So there is that promise, guys. It doesn't say nothing about hostility ceasing. It doesn't say nothing about stress. The shalom that he's talking about here is internal. Your heart, your mind, your soul. It's not related to your circumstance or what's going on in your life. It is dependent on your relationship with God. Because the Holy One of Israel knows best. If everybody could stand. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. When you give, God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. The money will follow. In your grief, God is a comforter. In whatever area, whether that's a lost loved one or finances or a job. If your experience here, a crisis of faith, you will get to the other side. It's not an easy ride, but it is a safe arrival. Lord, we thank you for your peace. For us to have minds that are stayed and fixed on you. God, I ask that you will come right now and lighten loads and lift burdens. Lord, that you will take away all anxiety, all fear, Lord. And for some of you that think, I've been living in survival mode. It's all right for you saying, cost of living. Well, God wants to bring revival and awaken your heart and your soul and your mind and restore living hope. For some, it's that sense of prolonged dryness. We were singing rain, rain on me. That prolonged dryness like we're experiencing physically out in the land. But God wants to water. He wants to cleanse. He wants to bring refreshing, because in the kingdom of heaven, thank you, Father, that there is no water ban in the kingdom of heaven. That, Lord, you bring fresh and living water. And for those, Lord, who are struggling with a little bit with unbelief, I say, come. Come, Lord. Come, all who are thirsty. Come to the waters. You who have no money, come, buy, eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why? Spend money on what is not bread and your labor that does not satisfy. And I believe there's someone here who is concerned about feeding their children. Don't know why, there may be the cost of living, that sort of thing. There's a worry. And God wants to meet that need this morning. And I believe there's someone maybe experiencing a hip pain. Do come down. But Lord, I just want to say, thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. We trust in the Lord. We lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways, we shall acknowledge you. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Daddy. Do it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the cost of living is Jesus, our precious Prince of Peace. In Jesus' name.